Hi, this is George Batty, and this week the question is this: what about holiday parties and drinking? I'd like to begin this study with some commonly known facts about alcohol. Alcohol, first, is a drug that begins working on the central nervous system. Number two, the first drink of alcohol begins to impair one's reflexes and his ability to judge. Number three, alcohol begins to remove one's inhibitions. In other words, alcohol makes it more difficult to resist a temptation. Temptation is difficult enough to resist all by itself. When one begins to drink alcohol, it becomes virtually impossible to resist what one knows to be sinful. A common idea is that the Bible forbids drunkenness, but not moderate drinking. But ponder these questions. First, since alcohol impairs one's ability to judge, can we reasonably assume that a moderate drinker will stop short of drunkenness? Second, what exactly is drunkenness? Is it scriptural to drink just as long as you never pass out? Is it scriptural to drink just as long as you don't get sick and vomit? These are serious questions which people need to answer before they think about drinking. If someone is truly concerned about their soul and living for God, they better decide exactly what constitutes drunkenness, and they better decide how they're going to stop short of drunkenness after their judgment has been impaired from the first drink. There are many, many warnings given in Scripture about the dangers and deceitfulness of drinking alcohol. In Proverbs 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." In Proverbs 23, verse 29, the Bible says, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, 'They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?'" Now, alcohol, according to this, is destructive and ruinous when it's used for recreational purposes. Alcohol promises joy, but it brings heartaches. It promises to clear one's thinking, but it actually clouds the mind. It promises to settle one's nerves, but it makes a nervous wreck out of its victim. It promises freedom, but delivers bondage. It promises relaxation, but produces frustration. Anyone thinking that recreational use of alcohol is harmless is deceived by alcohol, according to Proverbs 20, verse 1. The only legitimate use of alcohol, according to the Scriptures, is medicinal use. In other words, small amounts of alcohol may be used as medicine, but may not be drunk for mere pleasure. Notice carefully 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. The Bible says, "No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities." This is what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Timothy was trying to be a model Christian, according to 1 Timothy 4:12. He was trying to set the best example he could set in order that God might be glorified and that sinners might be converted. As a model Christian, he drank only water. That is, he drank only non-alcoholic beverages. However, for medicinal purposes, the apostle instructed that a little wine could be used. Now, there's nothing sinful when a Christian today takes a cough syrup or cold medicine that contains alcohol, provided that he follows the directions and takes only a small quantity. In contrast, however, there is no scripture to justify a recreational or casual use of alcohol for mere pleasure. Many, in order to justify themselves, refer to the miracle of Jesus turning water into wine in John chapter 2. Their argument is that, you know, if Jesus would provide wine for a wedding, then casual and recreational drinking is acceptable. In response, there's two things to remember. First, according to John chapter 2, verse 6, Jesus made many gallons of wine. Now, if this miracle proves social drinking is acceptable, it proves drunkenness is acceptable. But we've already noticed that drunkenness is sinful. And the second thing I want you to notice is the Greek word for wine, which is oinos, may mean either alcoholic wine or simply grape juice. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8 is a clear example where wine simply means juice that's found inside a cluster of grapes. The problem with many when they read John chapter 2 is that they cannot conceive of a wedding party taking place without alcohol. And since they themselves would never attend a party without alcohol, they think Jesus would neither. Since they laugh at the thought of drinking grape juice, they think that it's impossible that Jesus provided grape juice for others. Rather than judging the scriptures for what they say, these people make up their minds what they want to believe first, and then they search for passages which they think will support their conclusions. This is not handling the Word of God aright. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. There is nothing in John chapter 2 that demands that alcoholic wine was used, and there is convincing evidence to suggest that the wine that was used was nothing more than grape juice. Well, thanks for listening to our message this week. We invite you to go to our website at willoftheLord.com. That's willoftheLord.com with no spaces between those words, willoftheLord.com. And there at our website, you can download the notes and the audio file of this message you just listened to. We invite you to call our program again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.